Hi, this is Carolyn, and I'm here with Aaron, and this is part three of our episode with Michelle. Michelle is a playtester for Tennis Warehouse and also the host of the Talk Tennis podcast. We've learned so much from Michelle, so we hope you go back and listen to part one and part two, but here is part three. Michelle, why don't you use a dampener? I saw that on your profile that you don't use one. Can you tell us why?
This is a highly debated topic. I think we actually have a podcast on it, and it's like pro con, controversy of the year, damp versus no damp.
Interesting.
I am on team no damp. Yes, correct. Did you guys both use dampeners?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we might fight.
We've been getting along so well. We're best friends now. We can't fight.
I know, right? It's all personal preference. So dampeners literally are personal preference.
Yes.
Also, I find that sometimes a multi needs a dampener, but a poly doesn't, or you might be getting a little bit more buzzy sound from a multi or syn gut, and a poly, I don't really necessarily notice that. I also tend to like no feel on my racket, on my string bed. So I don't feel like I need any dampening. I feel like it's a more, I don't know. I feel more connected to the ball.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I love that.
Just personal preference. I don't think, I kind of wish I did because there's so many cute ones, but I don't. And I'm so into accessories, but yeah. I'll just give you guys my cute dampeners.
Okay, to me, it's almost like a grunt or no grunt. And I know that sounds weird, but we did an episode on that. But to me, it's like when I hit without one, the fact that I can hear my racket bothers me. Where it's almost like someone might be bothered or not bothered by a grunt. I'm typically not when people grunt. I don't really care. Some people are very bothered by it. But if I can hear my racket being loud, I focus more on that sound than actually just playing. So I am definitely team damp.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. It's debated.
Yeah. Plus, I like all my emojis that I have on them. So
yes.
Sad,
yeah.
You know, either my mad face or... Sometimes I have one on each side. So depending on which side I'm going to return a serve, if I'm mad or not, I'll flip it to that emoji side. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
I mean, I do have several on my desk, but like out of everyone in the room of my office, I have the messiest desk.
That's funny.
So that's not saying much.
What strings do you normally use? And then what shoes? I want to know what you normally wear since you are the gear.
Right. Yeah. Let's just copy what.
Yeah. I want to know what you wear.
Oh goodness. So it's funny growing up, and we kind of had this chat earlier, but growing up, it was like, if you're a good player, you're only wearing like one brand head to toe. And if you're wearing Nike and Adidas, like,
right. Mixing brands. Oh
yeah. And then being in college and even as a college coach, I was doing all the ordering and it was like Nike, 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 or, you know, whatever. But coming to T-Dub, I've been allowed to mix my brands and I am loving it. So for strings, gosh, right now I'm playtesting so much, like from prototypes to stuff that actually is on the market. But you can always guarantee that I have a racket strung with Hyper G from Slinko. It's a great poly. We see it in a lot of pro players and college players. It's that bright green string, very recognizable. I love that string. I also have been stringing a lot with Prince Diablo Prism, which is a poly, but it's color hybrids.
Ooh.
So one is red and blue and the other is yellow and green. And like in the racket, it just looks really fun. And it's still like a really cool poly, really good control. I'm always looking for control from my strings. As I get older, I've been starting to test more multi-filaments that act like a poly string and polys that act like a multi, so softer strings. As far as footwear, gosh, I could geek out about shoes. As I said, my desk is the messiest. I'm pretty sure also I have the most amount of shoes at work, in my closet, in my car, everywhere. I love matching like my shoes to something, whether it's my racket or my outfit, or wearing like all black and then wearing like a really bright shoe. So I know you guys are like gel resolution diehards. We had an SMU, a special makeup of the women's gel resolution last summer that was like bright coral. And we called it like the sherbert shoe. I love that shoe. That's like my go-to shoe on the weekends. Like if I'm going to teach some lessons or whatnot, and like dress, I'll build an outfit around it. I'm obsessed with the new Adidas Ava Court shoe. It's so cute. What else? I'm playtesting one of the new Nikes, the NXT, the Court Zoom NXT right now. So that one is in heavy rotation. I just like love shoes. So.
Michelle, you also said that you coached. A lot of adult recreational players get frustrated out on the tennis court. And you also played growing up at a very high level. Do you have any tips for adult recreational players that maybe get frustrated out on the court? Like, for example, me.
I was going to say.
Karen does it. This is for personally for me.
This is Karen's therapy session right now.
Well, it's funny because like Aaron's game style is me, but like Carolyn, your personality is me. So I get it. I get so frustrated. It's funny. Like sometimes I'm like scared that someone's going to release like the behind the scenes footage of me like getting mad. I'm like not at anyone else but myself, right. But I'm really hard on myself. So I always try to remind what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to have to remember for myself. It's easier. What do they say? Those who can't do
teach.
Yes, exactly.
It's always good to just kind of remind yourself where you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it. So for us, you know, we're on the tennis court, we're outside in the sun, we get to spend an hour or two or three doing what we love and just kind of like go back to, I always think that when I'm having a rough day, I have to find gratitude. So what are we thankful for? That's very simple. However, I'm also really big on mantras and positive affirmations. And I would assume as an athlete growing up, you might have been too. So I do like a lot of resets on the court, whether it's go touch the back fence or go grab my towel. And then I have little mantras that I will say when I'm changing sides.
Can you tell us what they are? Give us one.
Yeah, I was going to say, some people would say different things changing sides.
Well, and right. Yeah. And it's crazy. And I know like episode. It's. Yeah. Oh, actually,
that's a great, yeah.
It sounds very woo woo, and like I'm fine with that. I'm all about the spirituality. I have like mantra bands on right now that say little things. I was that girl. Like even when I played that tournament, I had a wristband and I wrote a mantra on it. I'm crazy, you guys. I need psychiatric help. Okay. So my mom, when I was younger, I would get out of school and she'd drive me to tennis and I would like write my affirmations. Somehow it stuck, apparently. But even just like reminders of like what you need to do on your serve or your return right before, like the triggers that will help you perform best. So this isn't even a positive affirmation, but before I serve, I'll say like up, over, and in, because I have a tendency to fall down and like that reminds me to go up. And on my return, what do I say? Split, turn, roll. So I'm down, I split step, short backswing, turn, and then roll the ball instead of just like blast it as hard as I can.
Oh, I love that.
This is what I need. This is what I'm not doing. I need some mantras.
And then mantras. On the changeover, I have like this whole thing that I would say. And it's one of those things that's like so muscle memory. Like I probably couldn't even recite it right now because I'm not in the moment. But it's such a good way of pulling yourself out of the moment and like resetting and then starting fresh when you're on the other side of the court, in my opinion. I think that's so important.
That's great.
That's great.
Yeah. I know what's missing in my game. More things that are missing
More
in my
things.
Game.
Now it's And since you played for so long, Michelle, can you tell us your most memorable moment on the court?
Okay. I mentioned this on my side of the podcast. I was racking my brains for like this amazing story and I couldn't come up with anything. And like, it just kind of made me reflect on all of my years on the court and just like appreciating everything that tennis has brought me, whether it's, you know, meeting new friends and learning about myself, traveling to Europe, watching my mom compete, coaching players and watching them have success and win, working with players and watching them on the TV have success and win. Like, I don't have a single moment. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's all encompassing. Tennis is just, all, yeah. Yeah. It's become your life.
Yeah.
Well, and even like after this chat, like these kinds of chats like really get me fired up. So like for the rest of the day, I'll be like buzzing and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I did this fun podcast. So like even that, I know we're not on the court right now, but I just love what tennis has to offer.
We can't thank Michelle enough for being on the podcast. We've included links to Tennis Warehouse and her podcast in our show notes. If you'd like to see a picture of Michelle, please check out our website, which is secondservepodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening and hope to see you on the court soon.